Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Yeah, I got a phone call Sunday, I think. Yeah. Brother Steve said, "Where you at?" "No, when are you coming home?" I said, "I'm coming home Monday." And he calls me back and he said, "Where you at on Monday?" And I said, "Arkansas." "Well, I thought you was coming home." I said, "I am." I said, "I'm fixing to leave." "Well, I won't be there. I'm on a plane heading south." I said, "All right." I said, "I'll see you." He said, "When are you going west?" I said, "Thursday." He said, "Well, I'll wave at you in the air." So I said, "Well, that'll work." But anyway, Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, "John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. Lord, the blessings that you truly give us each and every day of our lives. And Lord, we do ask now that you would clear our hearts and minds and Lord, of all the worldly things, worries that we may have, and Lord, we just ask that we would place it upon you and your word, and we thank you for that. Lord, if there be one here tonight that does not know you as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, that they would come to know you. Lord, if there's one here that, Lord, got a lot of things on their hearts, that, Lord, before they leave here, that they can get that right with you, whatever it may be. And we thank you for it. We ask, Lord, that you would be with our missionaries at home and abroad. Bless them, Lord, our country. Lord, we just ask you to work in it, Lord, to, Lord, bless it. We ask you, Lord, to bless Israel. Strengthen them, Lord. And these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Philippians 3:10, hang on to Revelation, or you can go over there or wait, but Philippians 3:10, it says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." We just celebrated, really, the whole deal, death, burial, and resurrection. But because of the resurrection is what I'm going to preach on tonight. We have something that's really special through the Lord. We have a really special gift that was given to us, and that is the gift of God. And the gift of God was, it says, Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." I want to talk about grace for just a few minutes. Grace of our risen Savior. Because of grace, the first thing that we can look at is He loved us. Verse 5, it says, "Unto Him," at the very last sentence there of that verse in Revelation 1, "unto Him that loved us." You know, that means a lot. When did Jesus start loving us? You ever thought about that? You know, I got this little grandbaby named Anaya, and I had never seen her before up until a few years ago. And, you know, I thought it's kind of neat. My daughter adopted her, and, you know, that was all fine, well, and good. But when I finally got to the point that I loved her, it's because I got to know her. I got to see her, and I got to hold her in my arms. And then we really, I don't know, some people might not call it a privilege. The first couple of weeks, I didn't call it a privilege. We got to keep her for 6 weeks. The first few days there, about the first week, I'm thinking, this is not good. I am not cut out for these little guys. But after about 4 weeks of that, I was thinking, you know, I don't know if I want her to go home. And then after 6 weeks, when they came and got her, I was like, oh, we're sitting around the house, just me and Sandy and the dogs. And I'm thinking, you know, you guys, they stink. They smell like dogs. But, you know, that's when I loved her. When I met Sandy, I won't tell too much. When I met Sandy, of course, I met her at church. But I liked her. She was all right. Long black hair, and man, I was impressed. But I didn't love her. Now, in a little while, I loved her. And then, as we have went on now, going on, what, 38 years, I love her. And in another 20, 30 years, if she keeps me around, I love her a whole lot more than I do now. But when you think about God, when did God really start loving us? Really and truly, He didn't. He didn't start loving us. He's always loved us. Amen? Amen. He's always loved us all the way from the beginning. Turn over to Ephesians. We're going to go back to Revelation again here in a minute. But turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. We were in God's heart and mind before the foundation of the world. Look at verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You ever thought about what the Beloved is? The Beloved, that's special. I looked it up, dear to the heart. Something that's beloved by me is dear to my heart. She is dear to my heart. Anaya, my little grandbaby, and Cody, and the two other little grandbabies I've got now. Well, they're not grand. They're grown a little bit, 9 and how old are they? They're 3. And then now we got a new one on the way. That's beloved to me. That's dear to my heart. But you know what? You think about what that just said. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. We are dear to the heart of God. I may be dear to the heart of my mom. That's special to me. But we're dear to the heart of God. That is something that excites me and makes me, well, just makes you happy. But listen, it's not because of anything that we've done to deserve His love. Really isn't. You know, I like to think that, well, Jesus doesn't love us because we're valuable. I kind of like to think I'm valuable. I don't know if I am to Sandy or not. Sometimes I hope I am. But really and truly, Jesus doesn't love us because we're valuable, but we're valuable because He does love us. That's what makes us valuable, because God takes care of us. He loves us. He provided the love that we have. And through Him, oh, it's a blessing. It really is. It's exciting to me. Why does He love us? You ever wonder that? Why does God love you? Because of grace. Grace. Man, that's a wonderful word.
That word grace is what God bestowed upon me if I was willing to take it. It's not forced on anybody. See, God can't force us to love Him. It's not forced on anybody. We can accept it or we can walk away from it. It's whatever we want to do. But the point is, God loves me because of grace. And here's the best part. Nothing can separate us from that love. Nothing in this world. Nothing can separate us from the love and that grace that God has bestowed upon us. It doesn't matter what you've done. It really doesn't. Romans 8, and you guys all know what Romans 8, 38 and 39 says. You want to turn there. 38 and 39 says, Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is good. There is nothing out there that will separate me from the love of God. You know, to me, that's special. It doesn't matter how sorry I was at one point in my life, how sorry I am today, and how sorry I'll be next week. There's nothing that can separate me from that, from God's love. It's there. It's there for me, and always will be. Forever. I don't even know what forever is. I know what 52 years is. I haven't got a clue what forever is. But it's a long time. And it's beyond my thought pattern. But when I think about it, I'm like, wow. You know what? God loved me before I was even me. That don't make any sense to me, but He did. Before the foundation of the... Supposedly, according to the Word of God, if we go by what the Word of God says, and we do the figures, about 10,000 years old, what the earth is. Now, there's some of them that says it's 200 million years old. Well, or 50 billion years old. You know what? God loved me before then. And that's a blessing to us. And really and truly, the child of God, oh, we ought to be walking around with a big smile all the time and say, "Yep, God loves me, doesn't matter what I've done." Because of grace also, He washes us. Look at verse 5 of Revelation chapter 1 again. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins. God's grace cleanses us through our risen Lord. Through the Lord Jesus Christ who came out of the tomb on the third day, His shed blood washes us clean. That's God's grace that does that for us. You know, there's some people might think, well, I need to clean up. I was preaching to a guy, to some people in the jail one time, and this guy said, "Well, you know, I got to get things together and get my life straightened out, and I need to clean up some." And he even said, "I need to get a haircut and go to church, and I think God probably helped me out." It actually, if you'll really look at what it actually says, unto Him that loved us and washed us. It didn't say He washes you and then loved you. He loved us, then we got cleaned up. Then He starts cleaning up from the inside out. It starts changing the appearance of people. It starts changing your thought patterns and the way you act, the way you treat people. All of that takes place the closer we get to God. I told some people the other day, I said, I knew a guy that looked like he stuck his head in the tackle box. It didn't matter. He came to church. Nobody said a word to him about it. I didn't say nothing to him about it. Actually, it's funny because we were studying the book of James when he showed up. And we were just talking about accepting people that don't quite look like us or maybe that we don't place on that same level, because humans are bad about that. You know, we place people in different areas. And so this guy, when he got saved, he didn't take nothing out of his face. Okay, I can live with that. He's going to walk by a magnet. Well, guess what? He finally comes to me one day and he says, I need to get baptized. The Lord's really bothering me about that. Talk to me about it. And I talked to him about it. He showed up that night to get baptized and started pulling all this stuff out and digging around in his tongue for that one. And I'm like, whoa, I've had enough of that. And you know what he said? He said, I got to get all this out. He said, it ain't right. God starts working on them from the inside out, and the closer you get to God, I didn't have to say a word to him. He done it all on his own. Well, I say he done it all on his own. It was all God that done it.
Amen.
It's not going to be me. Apart from the blood of Christ, we can't clean ourselves up. You know that?
Right.
We cannot. We can try. We can do all sorts of stuff. But that's not going to do it. You know, the root word for that word washed or cleansed in the Greek is called luo, which means loosed. That's where it all starts. Until we're loosed from the world, until we're released from the bondage of sin, we can't clean us. So if a person comes to me, they don't know the Lord Jesus, and they're saying, I'm cleaning up, and I'm going to do right, and I've got all of this going the way it's supposed to be, and God's going to bless me, I'm giving some money to charity, and man, I go to the homeless shelters and feed them, and I go down to the hospitals and visit. Listen, anything we do apart from Jesus Christ is filthy rags. That's the only thing that can clean us up, is the blood of Jesus. Nothing else can. You know the song, I wrote the song down. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is what makes us whole. The blood of Jesus is what cleanses us. I don't care how filthy we are. You can't be foul enough that the blood of Jesus can't clean you up. And once we get saved, we can't do bad enough that the blood of Jesus can't cleanse us. Amen? 1 John 1:9, he says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't matter what I do tomorrow. If I ask forgiveness, the Lord will cleanse me of that. Boom. Gone. And I'm right back clean again. Boy, thank God for grace. Amen. Because of grace, though, also, He lifts us up. Actually, lifts us up, in other words, exalts us, so to speak. Look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You ever actually seen a king? Somebody called himself king. I ain't talking about the one on TV these days. But the other one, the real ones. I've always wanted to see like the King of Arabia in person. I thought, you know, that'd be neat. Big old crown and the robe. I always wanted to see the Queen of England. Kind of wanted to meet her husband and ask him what's the matter. He lets her run everything. But, you know, I always thought about that. But do you really want to see a king or queen? If you know the Lord's your Savior, look in the mirror and it'll look right back at you. We're kings. We're priests in the eyes of God. And when I think about that, and I really got to studying about that here a while back, and I'm like, wow. But you know what? Let me ask you a serious question. How much trouble do you have thinking of yourself that way? I do. Well, you know, when I get up in the morning, I'm like, I wonder if King Arthur looked like that. You know, when I look at it, it's like, but really and truly, we are. According to the Word of God, and if we believe the Word of God, listen, we are kings and priests. We're royal blood. Next of kin to the Holy Trinity. Right there. I'm a cousin to somebody. I got cousins, next of kin. Some people say I look like one of my uncles. Some people say, well, you look like your dad, you act like your uncle. You know what? But we are next of kin to the Holy Trinity. Man, when that thought hit me, I'm like, why? We really are. We're next of kin to the Father, to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It was like, woo! Man, I'm royal. Royal blood. My daughter traced us back through lineage. And supposedly way back there somewhere in England, we come from some royal blood. But it ain't done a thing for me. You know, ain't helped me a bit. Bank account still the same as it always been. I'm driving around in a wore-out VW Passat. Smoked every now and then. Well, I start to smoke a lot. But when I get to thinking about what I've got through Christ, man, I've got a bunch. I am beyond what this world can even think of in riches. Romans 8:15-17 tells us that we are heirs, joint heirs to the throne. I'm a king. But you know what? What's more important than that is our position in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we're priests. You know how special that is? Listen, in the Old Testament times, they had to go to a priest to get to God. They had to go to the priest. They had to talk to the priest. They had to say, listen, this is my life problems. This is going on. The wife is sick. The dog's dying. The cow's gone dry. I need some prayer sent to God. But guess what? Because of what Christ did on the cross for us. Oh, hey. Hebrews 4:16 tells us that we can go to the throne of grace boldly. I don't have to go and say, well, Lord, I hope you hear my prayer. No, we can go boldly. Because we're priests. We go straight to God and say, God, this is my problem. This is going on in my life. These are the things that's happening to me. Help me. That's a blessing to me because I do that a lot. I go to God a lot and say, hello. But He's listening and He knows everything anyway. I get to worrying about things. Hey, God knows all about it. I got to worrying about this situation that's going on in my life. When the phone call came in, I'm coming through Colorado over there, Kansas somewhere. All I know was flat. And I looked at her and I'm like, ugh. Now what? That blindsided me. I did not see that coming. I'm like, wow. And then when I really got to researching how it really all took place, then it was like, wow. To watch God the way He's been working in all of this, and whether He puts me there or not, to watch what He's done, to know what He's done, to write it all down and look at it, it was like, oh man, that's God. Why in the world do I need to worry about tomorrow? Why should we worry about next week? We don't have no worries to be. Listen, if we know the Lord Jesus is our Savior, we don't have any worries. We should never walk around, ooh, you know, things are just terrible. Hey, no they're not. They're good. Sure, my leg may be rotting off, but that's all right. I'm a child of the King, which makes me a king, which makes me a priest. Amen. I'm going to heaven one day, and guess what? Walk streets of gold. Amen. Walk hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be able to see Peter and Paul face to face. I'd like to ask Peter, how'd it feel when he's in the boat and they said, put your net over here, and he brought in 153 fish. And it was like, ooh. And John said, oh, Peter, that's the Lord. You know, don't you know he had a knot in his throat? Couldn't say much. You know, there he is in the boat. There's Jesus on the shore. Jesus already told him what to do. And what are they doing? They're fishing for the wrong fish. They were supposed to be fishers of men, not fishing for fish. They were supposed to be out telling people about the Lord. They were supposed to be waiting upon Him to come back and empower them. And guess what? They were out there goofing off fishing. So, I kind of wonder how Peter felt. But then sometimes I do. I know how Peter feels. Because it was like, why did I think that? Well, that was dumb to do that. You get that little lump in your throat and it's like, can't swallow very good. You know, God really and truly is no farther away from you than the breath in your lungs, than the skin that's on you. He's right there. Lives within us. Oh, that's special. Our Lord and Savior is right here. And at any given time that I need Him, all I got to do is call out. And He's right there to help me out. Oh, He gives me peace. Do I receive the answer immediately? Sure I do. No, I don't. I'm just like everybody else. Sometimes I wait on that answer. You know, Isaiah 40:31, hardest thing in my life. Wait on the Lord. Oh. All that gets sometimes just like, speed it up. But then all of a sudden it speeds up and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, slow down a second. You know, the Lord takes care of us the way we need it. He supplies our needs. Let's all stand. I praise God for the grace of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you'll come up here, I will show you in the Word of God how to be sweetly saved. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, I'm just not positive about a lot of things. I got a lot of issues in my life. Hey, come up and pray. I'll pray with you. Grab somebody if you want to and bring them with you. They'll pray with you. But don't leave here with unsettled issues in your life. Let's bow our head. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Lord, the blessings that You truly give us. Lord, now that we go into the invitation, we just ask, Lord, that You would clear our hearts and minds, that, Lord, we would listen to the moving of the Holy Spirit, that little small, still voice, and that we would obey. We thank You for that. In Jesus' name.
What number, brother?